a difficult ask, isn't it? To always, in every circumstance, rejoice. Especially when things are hard, right? When life is a real struggle or very painful. I mean, it would seem like a rich thing to say to someone like Adam. Hey, rejoice always. When his life has been so hard. And yet, what is the testimony of Adam? That even out of such a hard circumstance, he's now saying, I'm full of love and I'm full of joy. I'm full of forgiveness for my enemies. I just feel so fulfilled. It's amazing, right? When Paul writes these words, Paul is himself writing from prison. He's been in there for a long time. He had plans. He wanted to travel and share the gospel. This wasn't Paul's plan to be in prison. Maybe he wanted to get out. He's writing to the church in Philippi. If you remember, early on in the book of Acts, we learn about the beginning of the church in Philippi that Paul's writing to. And as Paul was there, Paul was imprisoned. And what happened? God freed him. And Paul got out of that prison. And now, years later, Paul's in Rome and he's writing to this church in Philippi. And he knows that if God wants, God can break those doors open and get him out. But God says, no, not right now, Paul. Don't want you to travel. I want you to be here. And that's hard for Paul. And yet this epistle is full of Paul saying, no, I've come to a place where I recognize that God is working in this situation and God has me here for a reason and good things are happening and the gospel is being furthered even though I'm chained up and I am able to give thanks and be happy even in this situation. It's amazing, isn't it, to hear of people being so joyful and so content and so thankful in circumstances that they wouldn't have chosen, in circumstances that are difficult. It's hard for us to get our head around that because complaining and discontentment come so naturally, right? And they are everywhere in our culture. I read a report recently that said it was done in America, and they analyzed conversations of a number of people over a period of time. And they summarized that 70 to 84% of all the conversations of these people that they monitored for a long time were a form of complaining and grumbling. Now, that seems a bit high, doesn't it? But if I think about my own life, maybe 50% of all the things that come out of my mouth are an expression of discontentment or complaining to some degree, me expressing a desire for, I wish things were different, or I wish I had this, or I wish this wasn't like this, or I wish this person wasn't like this. It's an expression of me not being happy with the way things are. It reveals a resistance within. There's a resistance inside that's saying, I don't like things the way they are. I'm not happy with them. I wish they were different. I am discontent. And because our culture is so full of discontentment and ingratitude, it affects us, doesn't it? And sometimes that can become the way we are without us even knowing it, that we've lost that gratitude that we should have. I want to tell you a silly story. It's not a true story. It's just one I wrote up a couple of weeks ago. It's about a lady called Mrs. Thompson. Mrs. Thompson lived alone, and one Saturday morning, her neighbour Sarah knocked on the door with a homemade cake. Oh, Sarah, you're an angel, Mrs. Thompson cried. Nobody's ever done anything so kind for me. She was so touched that she was brought to tears. The next Saturday, Sarah brought another cake. Oh, thank you so much, said Mrs. Thompson. Her face was beaming. The Saturday after that, Mrs. Thompson opened the door and said, thanks, Sarah. But if you don't mind, a little less icing next time. It's rather sweet. The following week, Sarah brought another lovingly made cake. And Mrs. Thompson remarked, that she was a little late. The week after, Mrs. Thompson said, "Honestly, Sarah, chocolate again? Don't you have anything else in your repertoire?" Eventually, Sarah decided that she would stop bringing cakes. And the next Saturday, as she walked past empty-handed, Mrs. Thompson flung open the window, leaned out, raised her fist and screamed, "Sarah, where's my cake?" It's a silly story, right? But I think there's truth in it, right? Maybe it holds up a mirror to our own hearts. And that is how easily we overlook all of the blessings that we have and how quickly we grumble about the things that we don't have or the things that we wish were different. It's very easy for us to lose sight of all the blessings that we have and all the good things that God has done for us. So Paul says to us, if you are anxious, if you have things that you need, then yes, come to God to ask, but what does he say? Whenever you're anxious, come to God and ask, but ask what? With thanksgiving. So Paul says, if you're coming to a place where you're thinking about things that you wish were different or you need certain things, before you come to that place of saying, I need this or I want this or God help me, come to God and say, God, thank you. I have so much. We've sung a few songs about the mercies of God being new every morning. All the blessings that we have. We come first and say, God, you've given me so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We can thank God for all of the simple things that we have. If you have health, you can praise God for your health, for your family, for all of the good things in life. But we can praise God also for all that he's done for us. Like Adam says, I now have joy in the gospel, in Jesus. We can give God thanks for the cross, can't we? And Paul doesn't say give thanks when times are good, when you feel like it. Paul doesn't say rejoice when things are good. Paul says rejoice always. Paul says give thanks always. So thanksgiving is what? It's a discipline, isn't it? It's not a feeling, it's a mindset where we say, no, I'm going to think about all that I have rather than all the things that I don't have. I'm going to thank God for all the things that I can appreciate right now rather than being consumed with frustrations and discontentment. Paul, again, writing from a hard situation himself, at the end of that passage says, I have learnt in whatever circumstance to be content. That's amazing, isn't it? And then Paul says, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. People often misquote that verse, don't they? That doesn't mean that I can play football like Ronaldo or Messi. I wish I could. But I don't think Christ is going to strengthen me to do that. I wish he would. In the context, what's Paul saying? Paul is saying, I can endure any circumstance with joy because of the power of God. Because of the strength of Jesus. And it's there's two sides to it, right, isn't it? Paul says, it's a mindset I've learned. Paul says he's had to think about this. Paul says he disciplines himself in prayer to give thanks. And then after that, what happens? God's help comes. So if we want to be joyful, grateful people, the Bible says we need two things. We need a mindset and a habit of thanksgiving, and we need God's help. And they go together. Paul says if you're feeling anxious, if you're worried about things, come to God, give thanks, and what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, a supernatural peace, will come into your heart. That's God's help. But first, you have to think about all that you have and be grateful, because we have so much. And Adam is a testimony to that, right? When we are really experiencing the gospel and the love of God, that joy just overflows naturally. Amen. 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 Let me just say a quick prayer, and then we'll have our final song before we say the grace. Lord God, thank you for the example of Adam. God, forgive us because we can so often think about so many negative things. Again, as we read in that passage, Paul says, set your mind on things that are good and wholesome and right. Lord, our minds are very busy. and are often not in the place that they should be. But we thank you for your encouragement this morning that we can redirect our minds towards gratitude and towards you and all that you've done for us. And thank you for the promise that you give us the ability to endure things as we ask and turn our minds to you. You can give us peace instead of anxiety. You can give us joy instead of the disappointment and aches that we feel. You are the great healer. You're the great sustainer, and you're the God of peace. Thank you for that promise. We pray that we would leave with a motivation to be thankful and to be grateful, but also celebrating that you enable us to do the things that you ask of us. Thank you for your power, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.